Sometimes we just focus on the journey itself and not think about what we're going to be doing when we get there. I mean, how many times do you plan on going to Disneyland or the feast, and you don't think about what you're going to do when you get there? So in talking about God's kingdom, we need to be able to focus on what we're going to be doing when we get there so that we can make the journey more positive, more realistic. Let's go ahead and turn to Revelation 5 and verse 10. Revelation 5:10. And has made us under our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. So that is what we're going to do when we get there. Just like it is Revelation 20, verse 6. You don't have to turn there if you don't want. Blessed and holy are those that have part in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. The title of my message is Our Work in the Kingdom of God. And my purpose is to share a vision of what that work will be like. But before we talk about just ourselves, let's look at what it's going to be like for the people living in the kingdom, the human beings still there. So let's turn to Isaiah 30, verse 19. That's already gone over yesterday in the sermon, but we're going to review it again. Isaiah 30, starting in verse 19, we'll go through 21. It says, For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem, and you shall weep no more. He will be very gracious unto you at the voice of your cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer you. And though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not your teachers be removed into a corner any more. But your eyes shall see your teachers, and your ears shall hear a word behind you, saying, This is the way, walk you in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. So that's all the scriptures I'm going to read today. So the rest of it is talking about what we just read. So this scripture is talking about people, this Isaiah 30, verse 19 through 21. It's talking about physical human beings who will be living during the millennium. Now their lives are going to be a lot better than our lives ever were here. It's going to be more exciting, and of course there'll still be trials and tests and problems to deal with. But that's what building character, that's what helps us to build character, and that's the way they will be doing it as well. Satan won't be there to deceive them, but humans will still be humans, won't they? I mean, if we were still humans there, we know how we would be. They'll still make mistakes, things will go wrong. They'll still have bad attitudes from time to time. From time to time, they may get downright rebellious, okay? They're going to be human beings. But this scripture reveals the relationship between them and their teachers. And the teachers, spoken of in verse 21, are you and me and all of the church of God. We're the ones that would be saying behind them, This is the way, walk you in it. We'll be teachers who will not be hidden, we'll be seen when we need to be or want to be, or what's good for them. The relationship starts with the King of all the earth, Jesus Christ. God has called us to be kings and priests over the world with and under Jesus Christ. We'll be given cities or regions depending on his purpose for each of us to rule over and govern. And we'll be the representatives of Jesus Christ to these people. Now, Christ has promised to give us a reward according to how we do now. So some people will get cities or regions of 10,000 maybe, or 100,000, or 1,000,000, or whatever God decides to give each one of us. But just think of the number of people that you might be responsible for. But these are the people that have come through the Great Tribulation. They survived. And I well imagine God probably chose to protect whom he will choose. I don't think that's going to be just random. I think he will want certain personalities in his kingdom as human beings. That's my personal opinion. But they're going to find themselves in a much different world. They're going to find themselves in a world where there are spirit beings that on occasion they will be able to see them. This person that they see, this spirit being, might be someone that they knew in the old world. It might be someone they worked with, might be a neighbor, might be a close relative, might be your dad, or your wife, or your kids, you know? So, it's going to be a very interesting job for us in the kingdom. And it's going to be interesting for them because it's going to be so different than what they ever expected. So now what I want to do is make it personal for each one of us, you and me. So if you're taking notes, I want you to write down, what will I, meaning yourself, what will I be doing in the millennium? If you're not taking notes, just ask yourself that anyway. So I've got three things. Number one, you can write down, I will be a king. So Christ has given me a city to govern. Somewhere in this world, maybe in Wisconsin, maybe in China, maybe in South America, who knows where God will assign each one of us. But I, again talking about yourself, I'll establish God's government under Christ and set up human leaders that I will train to serve for all the people in that part of God's kingdom and keep God's laws and live in harmony. And that is what Christ is doing for his church today. Number two, I will be a priest. You can write that down. I will lead the people to worship God the Father and Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and High Priest of God Almighty. And the Father and Christ will hear their prayers. And that's what Christ is doing for us now. Number three, I will be a teacher. I'll teach my people the laws of God and of godly relationships and the true gospel. That gospel which is about their own eternal future. I will teach them from the Bible, God's word, and through the keeping of the Sabbaths and holy days and the feasts of God. Just like God is doing for us now. So those are the three main job titles that we will have and the roughly job descriptions. Let's get some examples of how that's going to play out in that real life. And you can write these down too, starting over with number one. I've got seven just so you'll know where I'm going. Number one, I will get to know every person, every single person of that 10,000 or 50,000 or however many is in your region, just as well as I know my own family. Each will be offered the Holy Spirit and a promise that they too can be born in the family of God, just like Christ does for us now. Number two, I will share in their personal lives. I'll be sharing their struggles and their successes as they overcome their own weaknesses and find joy in a fulfilling life like they've never, ever known before. And I will find more joy in their success and in their lives, just like Christ finds joy in our lives now. Number three, I will help them find their true potential. God has given them talents and abilities. Each person has their own set of abilities and talents that God's given by birth. These talents might be art or music or architecture or science or any other type of gift that God chooses to give that person, or has given that person already. And we can help them develop that. I can help them fulfill their potentials, all to the glory of God who gifted them with these talents, just like Christ does for us now. This next one I had to throw in, and if you know my wife Judy, you'll understand why I'm throwing this in. I will help the children grow up with puppies, the puppies they always wanted, and I will teach them to love and care for their puppies and make sure they have a forever home. This is real life. People will have pets. And to expand that, they will be taught to truly take care of all of God's creation, all animals in the land, because it's God's creation. It's not their own, and they have to learn to take care of it. I will teach them to be a true friend to all people and to be good neighbors, just like Christ is a good neighbor to us now. I will teach and love each generation of every family for 1,000 years. And what would that be, 40 generations? Can you do some kind of math to imagine how many people will be living in the world by the end of that 1,000 years through all the generations of all the people around the world? And you have your share of that, and it's going to be huge. And you're going to know and serve every single one. And finally, number 7, and this is really the best part, I will teach them to also be teachers. I'll teach them to teach so they in turn can help teach the multiple billions, and we're talking maybe 100 or so billion people resurrected in the second resurrection. There's going to be a world full of people, and we're going to have them help us. So it's important that we teach them how to teach God's way of life. And that is what Christ is teaching us now, that we can help him teach. In conclusion, for all of us in the church, this is what we can look forward to. No matter where Christ places us anywhere in the world at that time, it doesn't make any difference whether it's where you're living now or somewhere else in the world. We will have direct and personal involvement in each person's life who is in our part of God's kingdom. We have to learn now and every day of our lives to become what God wants us to become. That is, kings, priests, and teachers. That is what Christ is teaching us now. That's what we're going to teach them, and they in turn can pass it on. Let's look forward to learning all that we can during this feast, applying everything that is taught by all of the speakers. Let's learn what God is teaching us. He's here right now, speaking through those who are speaking. Let's let Christ teach us. That's what he's doing now. Let's look forward to the kingdom of God.